Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know, this is how sad it is. Welcome to Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. I just realized as Noel hit my intro music here that I had to bring up the NFL scoreboard on ESPN.com because outside of the fact that I know the Chargers are playing the Chiefs at 12:30, only because that game happens to be here on 92 on the Game, and that's what I'm taking you to, I realized I didn't know who was playing who in the NFL today. Oh, man. I'm not paying attention to the other games in the NFL right now because my team was eliminated, okay? They were eliminated. So whoever makes playoffs, I couldn't care less. It was like that whole thing about, well, the Falcons have been eliminated and now they can play spoiler. Spoiler for who? For Tampa. Why do I care about playing spoiler for Tampa? Well, you don't want Tampa to win. What, I want Charlotte, Carolina to get in? Why would I care? Spoiler to what? You can spoil the Rams. They may not get the number one. I care about the Rams. Why? I don't care. Anyway, John Fricke with you. It is Sunday morning at little after 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. Joe Patrick will jump into the show. We'll talk a little Falcons from our Falcons insider. Coming up at 9:20, Noel White is the boss today, and so if you call into the show at 404-726-0929, you can be kind to her and you get on the air, or you can be mean to her and she'll cut you off. How about that? How you doing, Noel?
Not too bad today, John. Hanging in there.
Yeah. I got a kick out of listening to Greg and Sam. Well, I enjoy it. Look, I've known those guys obviously a long, long, long time, and I enjoy listening to them anyway. But I got a kick out of the fact that they were talking about, you know, with the high school football title games about how it's going to be cold. I was like, oh, okay, sure, yeah, guys. As you know, my beautiful bride Tammy and I are taking care of our elderly parents for the time being, and you know, looking forward to getting back to Georgia, but it hadn't happened yet, and so we're in Bloomington, Indiana, taking care of our elderly parents up here, and got 9 inches of snow in the last 24 hours, and it's currently 1 below 0 outside. So, come at me again? What? It's 1 below. I mean, I know it gets that cold in Atlanta occasionally. I felt it below zero before in Atlanta, so it does get that cold. It's like early. I mean, we're talking early winter here, Noel. I mean, we're mid-December. We're at -1. You know, it's like, that's a little early. But, I mean, it could be a long winter if that's going to be the case. But, anyway, things are hot around this town. Whew, man. Heisman to Fernando Mendoza? My world is officially upside down, Noel. Totally. I posted this yesterday. My world is officially upside down. You know, I went to the University of Nebraska. We used to play football. We don't know more. Apparently, we play volleyball. Apparently, they play basketball now. And I'm, you know, hard by Indiana University here in Bloomington, about 3 miles away from the stadium. Indiana's never played football, but apparently they play football now. So Indiana football is 13-0, ranked number one, and has the Heisman winner. Nebraska basketball is 11-0. They beat Illinois in Illinois yesterday. Nebraska basketball is 11-0, best record in the nation. They've won 15 straight games, longest win streak in the nation. They're in the top 15. So Nebraska basketball, men's basketball, suddenly is like Indiana basketball, and Indiana football is like Nebraska football. And, okay. Like, all right, this doesn't make any sense. I can't believe the number of people that are actually angry over Diego Pavia not winning the Heisman. And by the way, it wasn't even close, okay? I mean, it was a rout. And not that it shocks me that it was a rout, but there were a lot of people that were angry. And Noah, did you see how many people were like, they weren't just like, this is a wrong call. They were like getting I mean, they were just like, you moron. I mean, they were screaming angry.
I guess they really wanted Diego to be rewarded for, I guess, bringing Vandy up. I mean, I know Vandy's been down for a while, but I didn't think he was going to win.
Well, I mean, look, he's a great player. He had a great season. He did bring Vandy into prominence, no question about it. It's not like Fernando Mendoza's a quarterback at Georgia. He's at Indiana, where until Kurt Cignetti showed up, Indiana had the most losses of any team, more than Vanderbilt, in the history of college football. So, I mean, football was, do you want to talk about a school where football was an afterthought? It wasn't Vandy, it was Indiana. So, I don't know. Both had great years. I congrats to all these guys. I was glad to see that Haynes King got a little bit of love and finished in the top 10. Because now you kind of move on. You never look at the Heisman, right, and say, will the Heisman winner make a great NFL player? You can't do that. It's a college award, because we've seen all too often where, you know, the Heisman winner hasn't really been a great NFL player, if he's even played in the NFL at all. There have been some Heisman winners not too recent that didn't even play in the NFL, didn't make a team. You know, that's happened on more than one occasion where the Heisman winner didn't make it in the NFL. Will Pavia make it in the NFL? I don't know. Will he get drafted? I don't know. Does that matter? Because some of the other people are like, you know, Diego Pavia is not going to get drafted. And there's a good chance he won't get drafted. I mean, he doesn't fit the metrics of the NFL. But does that mean he isn't going to go into the – look, Brock Purdy didn't fit a lot of people's metrics, right? I mean, he was the last player taken in the NFL draft. And look at Brock Purdy. So – just because Diego Pavia doesn't fit your metric chart doesn't mean he couldn't be picked up by somebody and suddenly turn out to be pretty good. You would be not surprised at all to sit around and talk about all of the people, and I know a lot of people point to Tom Brady, but of all the people who get quarterbacks wrong, I mean, in both ways. Either they overvalue a quarterback who's no good. We've seen that 1,000 times, right? Or they undervalue quarterbacks who are actually going to be very good. And I'm not just talking about Tom Brady or Brock Purdy, who was the last pick in the draft. Brady, who was in the 6th round. I'm talking about quarterbacks who went in the 2nd round. Guys like Drew Brees, for example, went in the 2nd. Brett Favre went in the 2nd round. I mean, undervalued, because it's hard. It's always really hard to kind of, you know, talk about, you know, how a quarterback is going to eventually become a player. It's not an automatic, obviously, not at the top of the draft, that a quarterback is going to become somebody. That just isn't the case. And we don't know yet. I'm using this as a roundabout, okay? It's a roundabout, okay? We need to learn how to drive in roundabouts. Please. Everybody across America, we've got to figure this whole, they're going to go Euro on us and put in a bunch of roundabouts, which I originally hated, but I actually now like a little bit, only because it keeps traffic moving. We have to learn how to use them, okay? If there's nobody in the roundabout, you don't have to stop, okay? Just saying. And if somebody's coming from the other direction and they're already in the roundabout, they have the right of, okay, all right. But I'm using it as a roundabout to kind of get to where we're going with the Falcons here, because, you know, when the Falcons went to Seattle and did the 2nd, maybe even the 3rd analysis of Michael Penix to make that decision – to say, look, is he really going to be a superstar quarterback? Because we just paid $100 million guaranteed to this free agent. We're going to make him really angry. And, you know, they had to make sure, you know, because there were other quarterbacks that were going to go in front of him. And a lot of the other quarterbacks in front of him have turned out to be pretty darn good, right? I mean, the Jaden Daniels and Drake Mays and Bo Nixes and, you know, all these guys. So you had to make sure that you were making the right move at quarterback for the long-term future. Is this guy really going to be a franchise quarterback? Because you're running a risk of kind of putting a real problem into the locker room over the next year or two. As it turns out, it was a serious problem in the locker room last year because the Brookdown Liar didn't want to stop playing because he knew that he was going to lose his job. So he played injured and took a 6-3 team right down the toilet. And then now, of course, he's back. And, of course, the other guy, Penix, is injured. You know, so you got to make the – no matter what you do as an NFL general manager, you got to get the quarterback right. Because if you don't get the quarterback right, none of the rest of it matters. And so you got to kind of get that quarterback right. And so we're back to here at the end of 2 years of Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix going, what are we doing at quarterback? Oh, my God. Because we don't know what we're doing at quarterback. And it's something I'm going to ask Joe, and I'm going to ask you as well today, because I'd like to know what we're doing at quarterback. I get a big kick sometimes. And look, we're all guilty of it. I'm probably guilty of it too. But Cousins goes out and has a game like he had against Tampa the other night. They throw all the stats at you, right? They throw out, you know, this is the first time in a team with 14 or more penalties has ever come from 14 points down to win in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL. How about that stat? How about that stat? And all of these things, the Bucs are up, 14 with 9:37 to go in the game at home and they lose in regulation. Okay. So they throw all these things at you. And, of course, some of that's due to, the defense bowed up. Pretty solid there in the last 10 minutes of the game. But they throw all these stats at you, right? And they come at you and say, okay, so that means Kirk Cousins, he's back. Or, Kirk Cousins should have been the starter all along this year. Kirk Cousins should have been the starter all along this year. Does anybody want to go back and look at the 34-10 Miami game or the 37-9 Seattle game? You got beat by the Dolphins 34-10, correct? Yes, John, that's correct. You got beat by the Seahawks 37-9, is that correct? Yes, John, that's correct. Both of those games were at home, right? Yes, John, that's correct. Who was the quarterback in those two games? Who started, who played? It was Kirk Cousins. So this recency bias or, right in front of you, well, he's automatically better than Penix. I got to tell you, if you look at the body of work over the last couple of years, it's pretty much 6-1, half a dozen of the other. Okay, it is. Both have had really good moments. Both have like comebacks. Both have had bad, bad, bad games. It's pretty much 6-1, half a dozen of the other. But that's not the real. So to me, they've both been similar. The team is what? Well, they're 5-9 now. They were 8-9 last year. So they're 13-18. Math is hard. At this hour of Sunday morning. They're 13-18, right? And so with Penix and Cousins at quarterback. So it hasn't worked, either of them. Neither of them have worked. And ever since that fateful day down in the swamp where Brookdown Liar got hurt, right, where they were 6-3, if you're 13-18 now, then that means you're, 7-15 in your last 22 games? Okay? No bueno. And so it hasn't worked with either of them. Right? Not like one has outplayed the other. Because if you think one's outplayed the other, I'm telling you that's not true. That isn't the issue, okay? The issue is the younger guy going to be healthy? Is he going to be healthy enough to play quarterback next year? Because if he's not, then what do you do? That's the issue. It's the biggest question I'm going to ask Joe Patrick next, and then we'll open up the phone lines. We can talk about the Hawks, because Trae Young is going to be practicing this week. What do the Hawks do? Talk about the playoffs, because they start this week, Friday night, Alabama at Oklahoma. Here we go. And more as we continue. John Fricke live with you on a Sunday morning. Chargers and Chiefs at 12:30. Hawks and 76ers at 5:30 live right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Way Northern Kia Studios, live on a Sunday morning. John Fricke with you. Lots to chat with you. We're going to, you and I, spend a bunch of time between now and 12:30 when we go to the Chargers and Chiefs talking about the Atlanta Falcons. When it comes to the Falcons, there's no more insider than Joe Patrick. He is our Falcons reporter, insider, and of course covers Flowery Branch left and right, and boy, does he have a lot to cover these days with the current state of the, not only the franchise with the games remaining, but what already turning to kind of what are we going to see and do here in the off season, and we turn to Joe to get all that kind of insight. Joe, what's going on?
Not much, John. You know, just woke up late on a Sunday afternoon. Nice to not have the Falcons. Nice that they've already won, obviously, when they play earlier in the week. So nice little kind of mini bye for us here in the media as well.
So, Joe, the improbable win on Thursday night, we get on the laundry list of things that shouldn't have ever happened, including the win. I can't imagine, by the way, what the reaction was like in Tampa to have that happen. Mm. You know, the first, you know, first team to ever blow a 14-point lead to a team that had more than 14 penalties and do it in the last 10 minutes in the way that they did it, because Tampa's view of this is that they just absolutely gagged and choked, which they did, by the way. But you look at this and what the Falcons were able to do without Drake, despite all the penalties and all the mistakes and shooting themselves in the foot 10,000 times. They didn't stop in the game, a game that they probably should have lost or could have quit on. And you know, I'll give them credit for this much. They rallied and fought through it. Somehow, I still don't know how they won that game.
they played hard. And, you know, I didn't think that they didn't play hard last week either until, obviously, that kickoff return that Rashid Shaheed had for Seattle came against them. And that really feels like it took the wind out of their sails. But maybe it did help. I can always kind of roll my eyes whenever there's, for example, like in the wake of the Seattle loss, when the players and coaches say, you know, well, it's a good thing we play on Thursday because we can get this out of our mouths quickly. And maybe that there was, some sense that that was the case in this one, because it felt like just, you know, the team had 3 days to kind of rush to prepare for this thing. And maybe that was the best thing for them. And they were certainly fired up, whether that was playing for Raheem Morris or their contracts or whatever other number you go down the laundry list for reasons why they should be playing hard out there. But they certainly were. And, credit to Kirk Cousins for putting on a performance that was, capable of allowing these guys to really, get out there and play to their capabilities, obviously, with Kyle Pitts going off. I worry that he'll be almost a victim of his own success after this one, because people are like, where has this Kyle Pitts been? It's like, well, hold on, guys. This is like the fifth best game we've seen in NFL history from a tight end. So let's not act like this is something that can necessarily be replicated week to week. But I did think that, like, the attributes that he was showing was the kind of thing that you do want to see. And so that was great. But, we're at the point now where, like, Bijan Robinson also just has, like, 175 all-purpose yards, and it's just kind of like ho-hum. That's what you expect. And I guess that's what typically happens with guys who lead the league in all-purpose yards, like he's on track to do. So it was kind of, a case of this Falcons offense really showing what they can be. And to your point, credit to them for not getting their heads down too much when they did have all these penalties that was setting them back during the course of the game.
Of course, it's easy to play loose and free when you got nothing to play for. Just saying. Fair. I mean, you know, they didn't, you know, bottle up here because what's the diff? I mean, really? I mean, you win at 29-28, you lose 42-0. There's no, you've been eliminated. So it's easy to relax and just kind of get into it. I mean, so.
I almost wonder.
That's part of the frustrating part.
Yeah, I almost wonder if it's more of that for the coaches, honestly, and for Zach Robinson in particular, to not kind of feel the pressure, because it felt like the play calling was a lot better than what we've seen, just in terms of getting the most out of Kirk Cousins and what this offense is capable of. I've never felt like the players have been under, like, you know, pressure, and that's affected their performance. I feel like in some cases they just haven't been set up for success by the coaching staff in a number of ways. And I thought that, you know, this was a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, it happened too late. And that's kind of the thing that Falcons fans will be kicking themselves over about this game. And I'm sure the coaches as well.
Yeah, happened much too late. That's the theme of the last 8 years. I mean, it's just an ongoing hamster wheel, Joe. I mean, so we got to break the cycle here. And I'm really afraid, and this is where we get into the false positives going into the off season here. I'm really afraid that the false positives are going to lead to more mistakes being made and not evaluations. I know that there was a story that said, Joe, Arthur Blank will evaluate the coaches and the players at the end of the year. I'm like, yeah, that's
yeah.
Isn't that like normal? Is it that doesn't everybody do that, or is that some kind of news that I've never heard of before in the history of the NFL? Mm-hmm. I mean, so anyway, neither here nor there, but it was just like, well, yeah. And so as they do the evaluations, the false positives, because, and I mentioned it in my kind of my opening statement there at the beginning of the show, is that you have people running around posting, Kirk Cousins should have been the starter all season long. Look how great he was. Did you forget who the starter was against Miami? Did you forget who the starter was against Seattle? Joe, am I wrong? Was that Kirk Cousins?
You know, so those were Kirk Cousins. You know, the game against Miami, he was inserted as the starter on Friday or Saturday. I can't remember which one.
He was the starter of all of last year. It's not like he's walking into a new team. Come on. I mean, seriously.
Listen, when the game plan is put together at the beginning of the week, it is made with certain personnel in mind. When you're switching the quarterback, and it's notable in that game because they came out with the normal game plan. And as that game evolved, they started getting more under center. They started doing more of the things that we've seen from Kirk Cousins. And I think it's notable that this team has actually entering this week, and I don't want to say it after this game, but it's probably going to go up after this. They were the third best EPA per pass team from under center, and that's basically after Kirk Cousins is inserted as the starter. John, I think that there is legitimate conversation to be had about the way that the team has handled the quarterback position in the wake of Kirk Cousins' injury that happened last year. Now, I think when they made the move last year, you could argue it was too late, but it was obviously worth doing at that point. Kirk Cousins was incapable of playing quarterback to the level that you needed. And frankly, they got much better quarterback play when they inserted Michael Penix for those last three games of the year. And Michael Penix gave them a chance to nearly reach the playoffs. I think that there's a conversation worth having over whether it was prudent for them at that point in time to say that Michael Penix is the starter going forward, including into next year, because I think that you can say what we saw from Kirk Cousins in that game on Thursday night, there were so many throws with anticipation and touch on the passes that was allowing guys like Kyle Pitts to run after the catch. And I think you can argue that, you know, the injury, obviously, that he did not tell the team about last year was affecting him. But coming into this year, could you have created a competition where, you know, you proved in training camp who the better quarterback was, and you were going to get the guy who was the winner of that competition? I think that's a perfectly valid conversation to have.
Okay, that's fair, right? So, but doesn't it go to the point of the failure to do that is a failure, is a coaching failure?
For sure. And I don't even know, like, honestly, when it comes to the starting quarterback, it is we have to kind of identify Raheem Morris, obviously, as, like, you know, he's the head coach, obviously a key decision maker in this, but is that even like organizational? Does that go up the chain? Like is Terry Fontenot involved in that decision over who's going to be the quarterback going forward? Because, you know, maybe they would have wanted to make that move with the idea that maybe they could have traded Kirk Cousins in the offseason and added to the roster, such and such. It's a complex, but yeah, that's my point, is that, you know, you can argue that the quarterback position has kind of been mishandled in terms of who's playing that role. I don't think it, and to be clear, I don't think last year it was mishandled. Outside of that, they should have made the change sooner, but coming into this year was, in my opinion, a different story, and potentially there was more on the table for this team with Kirk Cousins as a starting quarterback.
Right, so could be mishandled now? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to step on you, but I just got to ask, because you set it up. So what do you do now? Kirk Cousins, are you considering bringing Kirk Cousins back?
No. It's impossible. It's impossible because of his salary cap number. I think it's impossible because of because of the mistruths that were told, or the way I think the organization feels about, you know, that Kirk Cousins was not honest with them last year, and whether, you know, time has kind of healed that wound, I don't know, but it's really the contract, honestly, that is the non-starter here. They cannot bring him back for the number that he's on. And so that's what's kind of funny about this situation, is that they're going to ultimately need somebody to kind of be a bridge quarterback until they can get back to Michael Penix when he's back from that injury. Unfortunately, that bridge quarterback can't be Kirk Cousins, although even though he's going to end up being a bridge quarterback probably for somebody else. There are some different circumstances that make it so that it's not going to be him.
Kyle Pitts. Now, I see a lot of people saying, well, you know, you can, because there's three things you could do with him, right? You can franchise tag him, you can transition tag him, and then there's different kinds of tags that you could put on him. One includes non-exclusive, which means that, you know, nobody's going to touch him because nobody's going to give you two first-round picks for him. But, you know, do you tag him? If you do tag him at $16 million or so as a tight end, does he go to arbitration seeking to be tagged as a wide receiver at $25 million? Because he may, because he may be able to argue, like other tight ends have, like, you know, especially guys like Kelce and Gronk, who've argued that they're not tight ends, they're actually wide receivers. You know, and now suddenly he's making catches and looking like, you know, Godzilla out there with great hands over the middle and leaping into the end zone. Suddenly he's turned into this is why he's going to make so much money, because everybody, if you didn't see the potential for what you saw Thursday night, I don't know what you were paying attention. That's always been there. It took 5 years to get there.
Yeah. The tough running after the catch, too, just picking up all those yards, those yak yards, you know, after a 5-yard stick route or something. Kyle really showed how valuable he can be to a team. I do wonder if one of the reasons he was obviously, and statistically, I'm sure this is obviously the case, but with Drake London out, is he even more valuable, or is he able to kind of showcase himself more when he doesn't when he's not kind of, you know, got another, you know, great option that a quarterback can go to. I don't know. But, you know, as far as, like, his classification, I don't think he'll win that. You know, he might try to push for something like that if he is tagged, be tagged as a wide receiver price. But based on past precedent, I don't see that happening. I could see that kind of being something that the Players Association kind of deliberates about with regards to how the franchise tag is used as a mechanism going forward when they go into their future CBAs, because, you know, it is kind of, like, he's kind of getting classified under contracts that, like, Charlie Warner is also signed to, who has a totally different role. And that's just the weird thing about the tight end role. But anyway, yeah, I mean, like, I think that the franchise tag is firmly an option on the table. You know, if he's allowed to go to free agency, the team would also likely pick up a compensatory draft pick based upon what Kyle signs for in free agency with somebody else. But, you know, he clearly would have a lot of value in this kind of offense, in this kind of role. And so if you can get that out of him, I think that it makes sense to keep him. And to your point, like, the franchise tag obviously kind of keeps him under team control, at least for a little bit, so that you can either get that value out of him on the field or potentially even more than you would get in compensatory picks via a trade.
Yeah, and it'll be up to them to see, you know, what kind of tag they want to put on him. And, you know, because if they put a tag on him where other teams can still bid on him, which is the, you know, the non-exclusive, some people say, well, why wouldn't other teams want to, you know, beat that and force the Falcons to pay more money? Well, because the Falcons just let him go and you get two first-round picks. And so I don't know. It's it's going to be just interesting. I think, I guess my point is, without getting into kind of all the, you know, whys and wherefores of the different kinds of tags here, I think the Falcons are going to have no choice but to tag him.
Yeah, I think that we're probably headed toward that resolution as well, which is not really a resolution. It's a temporary resolution, but I think that's probably the case as well. It's going to be, it would be tough, especially if he continues to play well toward the end of the season. I think it would be tough as Falcons fans to just see him, you know, to allow him to basically walk away. And yeah, you get a compensatory pick or whatever, but you're not going to, you know, actually be the recipient of that for another year. And yeah, and it would be tough to see him tear it up. I'm sure that's what every Falcons fan's worried about, see him like kill it for the Kansas City Chiefs or somebody
right,
like that.
Well, that's exactly the team, right? I mean, because, you know, if Kelsey's done, then yeah, that's exactly the team. So, Joe, that leads to the bigger question here. False positives as it relates to the coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not enthused by like 19 penalties. I mean, I thought that the play calling from Zach Robinson was better, but that him coming back as a non-starter, it feels like that's completely untenable at this point. So, yeah, I mean, I think to get yourself hyped up about, you know, one win is as irrational as it is to kind of want the entire coaching staff fired after a particular, you know, after one loss that kind of randomly happened. So we got to wait. We got to wait to see this thing. But I know that, like, it feels like some people are worried in that, to that extent. And I guess I kind of understand why after having gone through the Dan Quinn thing, which I think Falcons fans obviously have on their minds and are kind of, it's like a cautious tale about what happens in these kinds of situations.
Well, give me your best guess right now, as we said. I mean, you could change your mind next week.
Yeah. It, like about Raheem.
Yeah.
I think that they'll make a move. I think that they'll move on more likely with Raheem, but I don't know that for certain. That's just my pure guess. But I think both Raheem and Terry Fontenot, I would say it's greater than 50-50 for both of them individually. I don't know if both will happen ultimately, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I can't know how much input Terry Fontenot had on Raheem Morris. If he had a lot, I don't know how you bring Fontenot back and trust him.
It's hard for us to know the whole picture. Yeah, it's hard for – we don't know all the information like the Falcons do internally.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, that's there. Joe Patrick, what's the podcast?
Joe Patrick on Football. Had a reaction show after Thursday night, and we'll have another one up tomorrow.
Joe Patrick on Football. You can catch it on any podcast platform if you want the insight from our Falcons insider. Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we will look forward to the remainder of the year.
All right. Thanks for having me on, John. Appreciate it. Always fun.
Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. We'll open up the phone lines next to talk to you about the Falcons and false positives. That's the story of the day. 404-726-0929 on Sports Radio 90.10.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Game. Sports Radio 90.10 The Game, Sunday morning live with you. Noel just said to me, hot chocolate weather from where I'm at. Again, I try and be as transparent as I can. I don't hide it. I'm I'm at the studio at the moment in Indiana. And again, everybody I think knows who listens to the show that, you know, God called upon me and my wife to take care of our parents. And they are elderly. My dad is since in the last couple of months he passed. But he was 90. He had a great life. Wonderful man. And now we're taking care of her elderly parents who are both in their late 80s and need our assistance. And we were, of all the children in the family, the only ones who were in a position where we could. So we came here and we're going to take care of them to the point where, you know, we can and, you know, be there for them. And then, you know, I still love, I don't know how any of you feel, but I've always been in love with Blue Ridge. It is, you know, Hiawassee and Oconee and everything up there, you know, from all the way kind of on the eastern side of the state, from Oconee north up to, you know, through Toccoa and up to Blue Ridge and all those lakes up there. So, I mean, that's kind of the area I think we're thinking about, you know, settling into. Which will, of course, allow me to come back and see the Falcons in person more often than I do. Though I don't know why I see them right now. But anyway, so I'm in Indiana, right, at the time being, and we had like 9 inches of snow yesterday, and it's currently 1 below 0. And I just walked out, and it's just a sheet of ice. They plowed the roads, but it's a sheet of ice. I took like a half a step. Went, oh, okay, I'm not walking on that. And because, you know, that snow and then it froze. All right, so ice. And I went, yeah, no, we're not going nowhere. And so Noelle says hot chocolate. And I thought, man, when was the last time I had? Noelle, when was the last time you had hot chocolate?
Probably some years.
Yeah. I said, not that I'm opposed to it, though I would never put marshmallows in it. You know, that's just me. It's so funny, you know, you can still taste it, but I'm going, it might be, I don't know, 50 years since I've had, probably close to it, probably close to 50 years. Not that I'm opposed to it. Though I'm probably not going to have one. Well, we don't have any in the house, and I'm not going to get any. So there's that. I guess I could put an end to that. We got NFL football for you today. Chargers and Chiefs at 12:30. So we have about 3 hours to chat, you and I. That'll be live on 92.9 The Game and the Hawks and 76ers. Now, I do want to say that's at 5:30 tonight, coverage of the Hawks and 76ers. While the focus is on the Falcons, you are welcome at 404-726-0929 to talk about other things. Like, boy, quietly, Alex Anthopoulos has been making moves in the offseason, and we'll see what, you know, certain players, you know, Mike Yastrzemski or certainly Robert Suarez offer to the Braves. I like both moves. I really like the Suarez move. So, you know, you're setting up maybe with Suarez potentially to reignite for the first time in a long time that night shift, which we have missed. You know, identify the left-hander in the group, and they got 7, 8, 9. Good, let's go. Because I have been a staunch advocate of the night shift. Because in this day and age of baseball, we saw the Braves have so much success with it because I think it works when guys fall into that role. And it was Alex who made the midseason move in late August. That was the old Martin move and Will Smith and all those guys to reset up that whole concept of 7-8-9 and that beginning of the night shift, as it were, for the Braves to bring that back. And I think Suarez fills right into that. What role? I don't know. Is he 8? Is he 9? Is he 7? But I think he falls right into that night shift role. And so we'll see how they want to stack them, how Walt Weiss wants to stack them for these roles. But I hope that that's what they're going back to. So anyway, so there's that. If you want to chat about the Braves, they've been really quiet. That's not fair. They've been under the radar because so much else. There's so much noise right now, right? With Georgia going to the playoff, with the Hawks off to a pretty good start, and with the Falcons melting down, there's so much noise in town that it's hard to break through if you're not one of those teams right now because everybody else is just kind of looking at all the noises up here. So, but you're always welcome. I want to make sure everybody understands that while I'm going to be talking about the Falcons, if you wanted to talk about the Braves, if you want to talk about the Hawks, look, Hawks play Philly tonight, 5:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We could talk about how great Jalen Johnson's been. That's fine. That's one thing. That's not really the question with the Hawks, okay? The question with the Hawks is Trae Young is going to be beginning practice this week, okay? Now, we see where the current setup of the Hawks, the good, the bad, they are a slightly above 500 team right now, and I think that's what they are, okay? I think they're like a 42 to 44 win team. maybe 45. I think that's kind of who they are. Does Trae Young coming back make them a 50-win team or not? And or does he upset you? Oh, he's going to upset the current vibe and rotation of this team. I'm not really worried about that, guys. I tell you why, because right now the current this team, it's nice, it's fun, it's fun to watch, but they're nowhere. This is not an NBA World Championship team. You think that with Trae Young they are? My answer to you is I don't know. It's possible they are, because this team has matured enough where Jalen Johnson has blossomed into a star. Zach and Dyson, kind of a little Dow Jonesy, right, a little bit. But we've seen Okongwu finally start to play like he was the number six pick of the draft at times. The problem with this team really is Kristaps Porzingis, because I don't know, does he even want to play? I have no idea. Does the dude even want to play? He's only played in half the games. It's like, dude, do you even want to be here? Because don't you get the idea, the sense that he didn't even want to be here? It's like, I'm sick. Oh, shut up, dude. Go out there and man up and play. It's like he didn't even want to be here. So I don't know what the deal is with him. So as far as I'm concerned, they could just move on. And I hope they do. He's an expiring contract. Just let him go. So Trae coming back, does it make him better or worse? And what do you do? How do you handle this moving forward? I know that there's a lot of chatter about Giannis and Anthony Davis and other players. I get it. So I'd be interested in talking to you about the Hawks. I'd be interested in talking to you about the Braves. Certainly we could talk about college football. The playoffs start this week. I'd love to hear from an Alabama fan how concerned you are about going on the road to Oklahoma. You lost to the Sooners at home this year, playing against that defense. That's the first game on Friday night. If you're a Georgia fan and you're looking forward to the playoffs here, who do you want to play here in the next round? I mean, it's pretty obvious who you might play, but anyway, who do you want to play? How do you see this going if you're a Georgia fan? And so there's a lot here if you want to talk about the college football playoffs. And for that matter, if you want to continue the conversation about the future of college football, because they're going to have to make some decisions here. It's mid-December. They've got about 3 weeks to make a decision about what they're going to do with the playoffs moving forward. And there's a lot of pressure, especially coming from the ACC and for that matter, from Notre Dame, for whatever that's worth. Remember, Notre Dame's going to get a carve. You may not know this. Beginning next year, Notre Dame's going to get a carve out. It's going to get a carve out where if they're in the top 12, they get in automatically. They get an automatic berth into the playoffs. Okay? If they're in the top 12. Which is leading some people to say this is ridiculous. They should not get a carve out. They should not get a special exemption, which I agree with, by the way. And we're going to start after this year, we're going to start dropping them from our schedule and force Notre Dame to play a bunch of Mid-American Conference teams to fill in so that their strength of schedule drops so much that they're not going to be able to make the playoffs. We'll see if that actually happens. I think it's more likely. There are ongoing conversations, and I'm sure that Jim Phillips is front and center with Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the – Jim Phillips, commissioner of the ACC, Brett Yomark, commissioner of the Big 12, with Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, and of course, Tony Petitti, commissioner of the Big 10, that those four are having ongoing conversations about going to 16 teams, okay? And so – but you got to do this quick, because if you're going to go to 16 teams, you got to get new television contracts, you've got to get certainly if you're going to get rid of the title games, you got to get set up with, places to hold the play-in games. However you're going to handle this has got to be decided really quick. Or are you just going to run another year with the 12? My guess is right now they'll run another year with the 12, and they'll take their time going to 16. So I think that next year at this time in 2020, we'll have a 12-team playoff. And then going into 2027, we'll get the 16-team playoff. Okay, I just think it's too quick for them to have to do all of this, because you got to rewrite the television contracts and things of that nature. But if you want to talk about that, we can. But most of this is going to be about the Falcons. And my term of the day is false positive. What do you do if you're? And I want you to put your hat on. What do you think is going to happen? I mentioned to the headlines. Arthur Blank will decide and evaluate after the season. What did it? Well. Really? Is that what an owner's going to do? He's going to wait till after the season to evaluate? At this point, they've been eliminated. What's an if? If they were going to make a move, they should have done it after the Miami game. I screamed after the Miami game, it was time to make a move from, and they didn't do it. Four different times this year, I went public and said, get ready. By the time that I went for the fourth time, which was after the latest Seattle debacle, it was too late. Okay? They'd already been eliminated. But the failure in Flowery Branch to move, I don't know if it's loyalty. And again, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. I would have moved immediately after the Miami game. It was patently obvious to me this team was going nowhere. I think it was obvious to all of us that there were things going on. Ray McLeod saying stuff, you know, about what maybe, now he may just be bitter too. So we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, right, in Flowery Branch. It kind of goes to the other point about behind the scenes. Did Terry Fontenot, was Raheem his guy, or was Terry Fontenot told to hire Raheem? Understanding that Terry Fontenot did not hire Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith was hired before Terry Fontenot became the general manager. And, you know, so the first hire that he had as coach was technically Raheem Morris. Was he the one who pushed for Raheem, or was he told to get Raheem? We don't know how all that played out here. So I don't know if Terry Fontenot's job is in trouble or it's not, as he saddled inside with making the decision to take Raheem. So false positives here. Will the false positives lead to inertia and more of the same? What are the Falcons going to do at quarterback? Joe thinks that Kirk Cousins is going to be gone. If he is gone, it'll be post-June 1. So we're talking a long time from now. You can designate him post-June 1, but we're still talking about many, many months of kind of sitting in limbo here with Kirk Cousins before you get rid of him, because you have to do post-June 1 to get that cap hit down about $20-some-odd million dollars, so that when free agency opens, you can make moves. So what do you do here? What about false positives here? What do you do? Is Kyle Pitts a false positive? You know, we always knew he had it in him. We've seen flashes of it before, right? And then he puts it all together finally for a game, and you go, yeah, that's that unicorn that everybody's been talking about. Where's that been? And so are we getting a lot of false positives here that are going to lead to opening day next year, Raheem Morris, head coach, Zach Robinson, offensive coordinator, Kirk Cousins, quarterback, Kyle Pitts, tight end? Is that what we're going to see on opening day next year? 404-726-0929. What do you do, Falcons fans? Are you concerned about eliminated, no-pressure games resulting in a false positive at Flowery Branch for them? Let's run this back. Let's talk about it. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Sunday morning with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.